And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, the West, that's, us, the United States and Great Britain and France and Germany and so forth, has given Vladimir Putin of Russia a message. You will submit or else. But Mr. Putin obviously didn't hear the message because he keeps tooling along. Just keeps tooling along down the road, doing it his way. It seems that there's just a few strident rebels against the New World Order. And you're one of them, Vladimir Putin. You will submit. But Putin just doesn't submit. I was thinking about Vladimir Putin the other night. I was reading the excellent book. Excellent. I hope you have it. The War Against Putin. What the Government Media Complex Is Not Telling You About Russia by my good friend M.S. King. The War Against Putin. I tell you, I give this book, 6 stars. Of course, they don't give it any more than 5, but at Amazon, but I give it 6. It's a great book. M.S. King has really figured out exactly what the United States and the West have against Putin. And I'd like to tell you about it today and just tell you that this guy has become a roadblock for the New World Order to be established. He's become, well, let's look at it this way. You know, I was going down the road about a week ago and wasn't paying much mind. Nice road, seemed like. Suddenly I hit something. I don't know what it was. It was either a bump or it was a pothole, one or the other. Now, bumps and potholes look a little different, don't they? I mean, pothole goes down and inside, but a bump goes over. But whatever I hit, man, it was almost like my whole fender and my tire came off. I said, wow, they need to fix this road. Well, Vladimir Putin is in Russia are sort of like that pothole or the bump in the road. And the United States is, well, they run into the pothole. He's the pothole. And he doesn't like a lot of what America does. You know, I don't like a lot of what America does, too. The problem is he knows what America does because the old KGB is still around, and Russian spies know about everything that's happened here in America, and they know all of our lies, or many of them. And it seems that Mr. Putin, every once in a while, will remind Barack Obama, I know what you lied about 9/11. I know you lied about Syria. I know you lied about, the Palestinians. I know you've lied about A, B, C, D. How does he know all that? Well, you see, they have their agents that follow our computers, our online directions. And when you have leaders, I was just reading in the newspaper yesterday that Mr. Ashton Carter, the Secretary of Defense, it seems that Mr. Carter likes to use his computer for, to send classified documents. But it's just like Hillary Clinton. Her computer is not... It's not sanitized and it's not set up. It doesn't have the firewalls necessary to handle classified material. Our leaders don't even really know how to protect their top secret and secret classified material. Or they're too lazy to use it, like Hillary. I mean, hundreds of classified documents have gone out across her computer. Hundreds. I mean, it's easy to hack into these soft computers that don't have any protection. So they know what's going on. They've got their spies. And so Putin knows what America's doing, what it's all about. He knows, for example, which congressmen, which senators are closet homosexuals. Oh boy. He knows about Obama being a closet homosexual. Did I really say that? I guess I shouldn't have told you about that. You don't know about that, do you? Okay, pretend I didn't say it. Pretend I didn't tell you that Obama is a closet homosexual. Just pretend that I never said that, did I? No, I never said that. Now, whether he is or not, Mr. Putin knows. And they want Putin to go along with this new world order. And you know, Boris Yeltsin was going along with it just fine. Of course, he didn't know where he was half the time. He didn't even know he was in the Kremlin. He probably thought he was, you know, at some party. The guy was just a drunk. He was a drunk. Everybody knew that Boris Yeltsin, as president of Russia, was a no good. Russia was run by the Jewish oligarchs. They own the oil company. They own Gazprom, the biggest gas company. They own everything in Russia, the Jewish oligarchs, or at least they did. They ran the government. One of the biggest was Khodorkovsky. And, you know, he would go to see Yeltsin and say, I want this or that. And Yeltsin just, oh, okay, go ahead. You go ahead and you can have that. Okay. He got everything he wanted. He was the top of the Jewish oligarchs. Khodorkovsky was his name. And then Putin took office. You know, many years ago, I think it was about 2004, when he won 71% of the vote that year. And Putin would be meeting with Khodorkovsky, and Khodorkovsky would tell him what I want. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And Putin would say, okay. But as soon as Putin got enough power, then Khodorkovsky had a knock on his door. It seems that the Russian tax men wanted to pay him a visit. They found out the man had not been paying hundreds of millions of dollars in Soviet taxes, in Russian taxes, that is. So Mr. Putin played it very coy. He, they say keep your enemies closer than your friends. Well, he kept Khodorkovsky very close. And right at the right moment for him, he arrested Khodorkovsky at gunpoint and threw him in prison. Putin was asked about this. Why, we thought that Khodorkovsky was your friend. And here's what he remarked. He said, quote, I've eaten more dirt than I need to from that man. It reminds me a little bit of Stalin, although I don't put Putin in the same category as Stalin. But see, Stalin was a communist. But Stalin was angry because all the Jews ran everything. Why? They say that Stalin wasn't a Jew, but he may as well have been. You know, they even forced him to marry Jewish women. His number two was a man named Kaganovich. And it seems that Kaganovich had a daughter named Rosa. And they told Stalin, she'll make a good wife for you. Why don't you marry Rosa? He had to marry her. He treated her horribly. They said one night it was about 20 below zero. And they heard some woman whimpering up in a tree near Stalin's apartment in the Kremlin. And they looked up and it was poor Rosa. She was up there totally naked, high up in the tree, whimpering. They said, what are you doing there? She said, well, my husband, Stalin, kicked me out of the house. He ripped my clothes off, told me to get out. Please help me. I'm freezing to death. They took her down, took her somewhere and, you know, gave her a nice hot bowl of soup and all that. And the next morning, Stalin couldn't even remember what he had done. But he didn't really love Rosa, you see. But he had to marry her because she was Jewish and they wanted him watched all the time. They watched him. But, you know, Stalin was very clever and he put his own men in power. Throughout the Communist Party, he put people he could trust. They may be a Jew, but they could trust that Jew. And he put many Gentiles in power. Until in the mid-30s, by the way, that was about 1918 and 1936 was the big year. 18 years, and he had been the boss for about 14 of those years. It took him about 13 or 14 years to have enough power. He just kept getting the power, kept appointing men to powerful offices, offices of influence, until finally he controlled everything. And then bingo, he started having the Jews arrested. Until that time, the Jews controlled Russia. But Stalin says, now I'm in charge. And guess what? He began arresting all the Jews. This Jew was taken away. That Jew was taken away. They said, Comrade Stalin, please, please, we have been faithful to you. He said, get away from me. Take him away. He would have lists. Beria, his secret police chief, would bring him a list of everyone to be disposed of that week. And he either left their name on the list or he would line through it. They say that he almost never used his pen to line through. He gave the list back to Beria and said, kill them all. That was it. Kill them all. Red terror. More blood. More blood. The Jews found that they were no longer in power in Russia with Stalin. They were shocked. They thought they had their Jewish paradise, their utopia. They thought that Tikkun Olam had come and Jews had poured into Soviet Russia from all over the world saying, now we can be Jews. Now we will have our own kingdom. We will run Russia. And in fact, over 70% of all the commandants of the Gulag prison camps were Jewish rabbis. Stalin, to please the Jews early in his administration, took the Our Savior cathedral, the largest cathedral in Russia, a beautiful cathedral, beautiful. The Tsar had built that, but Stalin turned it into a swimming pool. He said, eventually we will build a great statue of Lenin atop. But meanwhile, the church was razed to the ground. And in its place, a swimming pool for the people. Well, Putin played coy with the Jews under Yeltsin. But when Yeltsin died, then Putin took over. And at first, the Jews said, he's a man that we can control. He's easy to control. But he was plotting. You see, according to Putin, the Jews are not going to control him. No, no. And he began to have one after another taken away until there were very few oligarchs left. He gave the country back to the Russian people. Why, that's a crime. You see, when the communists left office, when the Iron Curtain fell, the Jews rushed in and took the country over again. They said, now it's all ours again. The Jewish oligarchs owned it. But Putin says, no, the people own it. Now, there are still some Jewish oligarchs, but many have been put in prison. Many fled the country. Many are now living in Israel or Great Britain. You see, Great Britain is like the second Israel. That's where Lord Rothschild is, the fourth great baron of the Rothschilds. That's where he is. He controls Great Britain, tells everybody what to do. In fact, during World War II, the head of British intelligence was another Rothschild, Victor Rothschild. The Rothschilds run British intelligence. The Rothschilds, well, they do whatever they want. They own Great Britain. The people actually think they vote for a prime minister. They think that maybe even the king or queen has some power. Nonsense. Of course, the king is just a prince right now. But eventually there will be a king again when Elizabeth abdicates or dies. And so Russia no longer is controlled by Jewish interest. And that's, they're very angry over this. The Jews are very angry. They have always, let me explain this, the Jews have always hated Russia. They've hated Russia, and they have sought to overthrow Russia again and again. You know, back during the Civil War of the United States, Rothschild was very, very anxious for the South to win. Now, if you're for the South, if you want to reinstitute slavery or something like that, well, then you don't realize it, but you would have been for Rothschild. Because Rothschild Well, he was a big Southern fan. He's the one that instigated the Civil War, the war between the states. And his agent in the United States was a man named Judah P. Benjamin. And Judah P. Benjamin was the Secretary of State and ran the Treasury for the South. General Judah P. Benjamin. He was a homosexual man, but he was great friends with the president of the Southern Confederation, Jefferson Davis. They say that Davis was never seen without the Jew with him, the little Jew, Judah P. Benjamin. Davis and Benjamin, everywhere they went. Now, when the South lost the war, Judah P. Benjamin fled the South, and the British picked him up on one of their ships. It was all arranged, you see, and brought him and some of his family with them back to Great Britain, to London. And he became the Queen's private lawyer, the barrister. Now, why does an American Jew, who was the second, really, he wasn't the vice president, but he may as well have been. He almost ran the South for Jefferson Davis. He was a slave owner, by the way. Most of the Jews down South were slave owners. They're the ones that bought and sold the slaves down South. But Mr. Benjamin was guarded, protected by the British, by the Jews. He was a favorite of the Rothschilds, of course. And they made him the Queen's lawyer. And he actually wrote a law textbook, which is in use today in Great Britain. And when the South lost the Civil War, well, Rothschild lost too. And he was angry most at the Russians. Why the Russians? Did you know that during the Civil War, the Russian Tsar sent a messenger to President Lincoln and said, "We know that Rothschild is plotting against America. We know that Rothschild is plotting with Great Britain and with France. He wants to see America overthrown. But we will stop him. Our Navy, the Russian Navy." Now, the Russian Navy was one of the strongest in the world at the time. And the Tsar of Russia, like the king, they call him Tsar, that means Caesar in Russian. The Tsar sent his navy out into the Atlantic Ocean, and they actually, at one time, they came very close to the American border. Think about that. Close to the American shore. And he sent messages to France and to England and said, "If you go to war against the United States on behalf of the South, we will attack you." Boy, they didn't want that, because Russia was a great power. But Rothschild never forgot that Russia had supported Lincoln in the North during the U.S. Civil War, and he hated Russia for that. And so, about 16 years after the war, in 1881, he had Tsar Alexander II assassinated. It was the fifth attempt on his life. Who did it? Bomb-throwing red terrorists, Jews, communists, and anarchists. In 1881, it happened. Wow. In 1905, the Jews backed Japan in a war against Russia. And it's interesting, but Wall Street banker Jacob Schiff gave Japan financial assistance in their naval war against Russia. Think about that. An American, a Jew. The same guy gave Russia millions of dollars. He actually gave the Jews millions of dollars, Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, and others, to overthrow the Tsar and set up a Jewish Soviet Union government. The same banker, Wall Street banker Jacob Schiff, the same banker was a big backer of Woodrow Wilson. And that's why we got the Internal Revenue Service Act and the Federal Reserve. The same period of time. After the war, this is something that I did not know, but Mr. King, the author of this book, found it out. After the war, Japan expressed its gratitude to Schiff. This is page 7 of the book entitled The War Against Putin. After the war, Japan expressed its gratitude to Schiff by awarding him the Order of the Sacred Treasure. And in 1907, Schiff was again honored. He received the Japanese Order of the Rising Sun. Schiff was personally awarded the order by Emperor Meiji in the Imperial Palace. Can you believe that? The Japanese had the Jews to thank for defeating Soviet Russia. Then, of course, in 1914, World War I started, and Russia's Jews said, this is our opportunity. Russia will be weakened in their war with Germany, and we will strike. And they did strike. But I want you to know something very interesting. During that war, Russia not only had an enemy in Germany, but in Turkey. The Turks were supposedly, you know, Muslims. Turkey is right on the border with Russia. So they share a border. And Turkey went into an alliance with Germany and fought against Russia. So by being Germany's friend, then they also were fighting against Russia. Now, if you know our current history, you know that Russia has gone down into Syria in the Middle East to protect the president of Syria, Assad, against the terrorists that are backed by the United States and Israel and Turkey. Putin has sent in his air force and some military troops. And I understand that he's just bashing up the ISIS terrorist. He's fighting the Syrian terrorist. And he's got them on the run right now. The Syrians have them on the run. Now, it seems that Turkey, however, shot down one of the Russian jets. And when the pilot landed on the ground, parachuted down, the Turks murdered him, murdered the pilot. Russia's pretty steamy, pretty angry. Putin is pretty angry about this. Now, the Russian plane, Turkey insisted it violated their airspace. But so, my friends, that happens across the world. Airplanes violate other countries' airspaces. And what usually happens is the other country sends up an airplane and lets that, you know, the jet or whoever cross over to their airspace know, and they leave. Mistakes happen all the time. But the Turks were just waiting for the Russian jet to cross their airspace. Russia says we did not enter their airspace. We stayed in Syria's airspace. But Turkey, the first opportunity it had, it shot down a Russian jet. You see, the Turks have always hated the Russians. Now, the Russians have always been close friends with the Armenians. The Armenians. I hope I'm not boring you with this. But let me tell you about the Armenians. It was around 1905 that Armenia was a province of Turkey. And they had been treated very well by the Turks. And some of them were even in the Turkey government. But the Turkish government was taken over by the Young Turks. The Jews. The secret Jews. Just as the secret Jews had taken over in Russia and Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin assumed power, the Young Turks took over in Turkey. They claimed that they were Muslims, but they were really Jews in disguise. And the chief among them was a man named David Bey. He called himself, you know, the new, well, Pasha of the Ottoman Empire. And the Jews then were head of Turkey, the crypto Turks. And they determined that they didn't like the Christians. The Armenians are Christians. Now, Armenia was a country of only about 5 million people. And they had lived very peacefully within the borders of the overall country of Turkey. They were like a province of Armenia. But the Jews stirred things up and they said, we will kill the Christians. You see, in the Jewish Talmud, it says the best of the Gentiles kill. The best of the Gentiles kill. Well, where the Armenians were certainly some of the best Christians in the world. Did you know that Armenia was the first country, first place in the world where the entire country went Christian? They're very proud of their Christian churches in Armenia. I've spoken to many Armenians, my friends. They're good Christian people. And the Jews that led Turkey, disguised as Turks, the young Turks, decided that they would kill and kill and kill. And they committed genocide against the Armenians. They went into Armenia and they forced every Armenian to leave their home. They said, you're all going to take a hike. You're all going to walk to Syria, which is many hundreds of miles away. You must leave your home. You must leave all your money and possessions behind. Take only what you can carry with you. Go. And they all hit the highway together as one. Can you imagine? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Armenians, young, old, children, male, female. And the Turks saw to this. The Turkish soldiers were given orders by the Jews that ran their country. When all the Armenians are on the road, kill them. And they did. The Armenians were slaughtered. Genocide was everywhere. Dead people were everywhere. The American ambassador sent back a desperate message to the American administration. They said the Turks are killing everyone. The British ambassador sent back a message to England. He said the Turks are getting revenge for the Armenians being Christians. And he said what they're doing is they take all of the people and they cut off their hands at the wrist. And the people have no hands and they bleed to death. Think about that, friends. They cut off their hands and then they all bled to death. The British ambassador said there are so many hands without bodies that you could take the hands and lay them side by side and you could build an entire highway all the way across Turkey into Syria just with the severed hands. Think about that. With the severed hands, you could build an entire highway. Very few Armenians were left. And the Turks had another country, Turkey, the Jewish Turks. Now today, the Turkish government is very embarrassed. And they claim this genocide didn't happen. They try to hide it. And Israel tries to hide it too. They say, no, there was no genocide. Because after all, the Jews were responsible for it. The Jews took over Russia, and according to Solzhenitsyn, 66 million died. The Jews took over Turkey, and some 2.5 million Armenians were slaughtered. When the Jews fully take over America, how many Americans will be slaughtered unmercifully? Well, February of 1917, Tsar Nicholas was forced to abdicate. He was told, you'll be allowed to go to another country. You're the czar, you've been the same as the king here, but you will be allowed to go to another country. But a year later, the whole Romanov family, the whole family, the czar, his wife, his children, were all murdered. Who did it? Well, of course, the communists did it. Who gave the orders? Well, Lenin gave the orders. The Russians don't like the Jews. They know the communists were Jews. And Putin spoke to a group of Jews at the Holocaust Museum a couple of years ago. And he said the early government of the Soviet Union, the communists, they were almost all Jews. Their ideology was murderous. We cannot allow this to happen again. I bet you the Jews were so angry at him. He looked him in the face and said, it's you Jews who murdered the people of Russia. I'll be right back. We'll talk more about why the Jews and the Americans so hate Putin. They're now out to get him. And they're telling him, you and Russia will submit or else. I'll have more when we return after this brief message. I'm Tex Morris. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Pastors and churches gone wild. Hello, folks. I'm Tex Morris. That's my newest book. The subtitle is America's Christian Establishment Has Gone Berserk. These are true accounts of pastors, clergymen, and churches gone wild. They're insane. They've gone berserk. There'll never be a revival with these kind of men. So it's going to have to be up to you and I. We're going to have to do the work of God. Because these people believe, well, they don't believe like we do. They are absolutely Satanists, many of them. You know, I'd like to tell you about some of these people. For example, there's a Catholic church in Chicago where the cardinal actually put up a circus tightrope and had a woman in a little skimpy bikini walk the tightrope. She was a circus worker and giving her a gift for God, he said. Then there's the reincarnated pastor who says he's Jesus, come back. And he tells his congregation, take the mark of the beast. Wow. Oh, there's all kind of stories in here. Pastor Andrina Ingram of a church in Philadelphia, she's a Lutheran pastor. She gives out condoms to the congregation and tells them whether they're married or single, she wants them to use those condoms. And it's like a communion, she claims. You're giving your body to the other person just as Jesus gave his body to us. This is part of the Lord's Supper, she says. Huh? Well, then there's the new rising star of the Lutheran Church. Well, her name is Nadia Boltz Weber. She's from Denver, Colorado. She has a church called All Sinners and Saints. And if you're a sinner, you're welcome there and you don't really have to change. She says, I swear like a truck driver. She uses profanity at church. She has tattoos all over her arms. Doesn't wear makeup. Well, you know, she's one of those kind. Tattoos all over her body. She's a weightlifter. She took drugs. She admits taking drugs. She says, I refuse to pretend I'm somebody I'm not. Well, okay. Hundreds of people in her congregation. She's the star of the Lutheran Church. She's got a new book out. She calls herself A Pastrix. The Cranky Faith of a Sinner and Saint is the name of the book. Wow. Amazing. I swear like a truck driver. But then there's, well, you'll have to read about some of these people. Remember the guy that was going around kicking people with his brogans. He ended up bedding a lot of the church women. They would give him hundreds of thousands of dollars. The guy got rich. He would belch during his services, let out gas during his services, swear and use profanity during his services, claimed he had an angel looking over him all the time, helping you out, keeping you rich. The guy looked like a reject from hell, had tattoos all over his body. But hundreds of thousands of Pentecostals loved the guy, Assembly of God. They thought it was a new move of God. The name of the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. $22, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $27. Here's how to get it. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or you can write to us. Just write to Tex Mars at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, we've probably been at this location over 20 years, haven't we, Jerry? 1992, we've been here, but we've been in ministry since 1986. This is our 30th year. Dear friends, we're celebrating our 30th year serving God and serving you. You know, I just have two bosses. I have God. He's my chief boss. He tells me what to do. And boy, I don't want to get in trouble with him. I follow him. And then there's you, my friends. I think that I work for you. I do. And if you follow God, you're on my side. and I think you're my boss. Why do we work so hard to get these books and videos and CDs out to you when you order them? Because I want you to enjoy them. You order them and you need them. There's no wait 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. There's no wait 2 or 3 weeks. The day we get your order, we try to process it. Well, maybe we have to wait a day, but we do it right away. Then it's just up to the old mail people, you know. They're slow as molasses, but we move very quick around here. Why? Because we respect you. You ordered something, you deserve to get it. And that's the way we feel around here. And everybody around here loves the congregation. And you're the congregation. And we're a team. We really are. Now, a lot of folks say, now, Texas sounds like a church. You've got people out there that are like a church. Yes, they are. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. Right now, there's more than 2 right now in this studio. And you're listening. That's 3. And I know there are thousands of other people listening. We are church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And we're right here now. And we're telling the truth. And we're having fun, aren't we? Well, some of us are. I am. I'm having a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It's great for you to be with us, folks. It really is. You're part of the team. And I read every letter that comes to me. Every letter that I don't give them to anybody and say, read this for me. Answer this for me. If I can, I'll answer your letter. There are many that I can't. I just don't have the time for. But I pray for you. If you ask me to pray for you, I will pray for you. I promise you. It's my promise. There may be a few. Maybe I was sick and maybe Wanda was in the hospital and I missed or something over 30 years. But other than that, I think I've read every letter that's come to this ministry. Every email. For 30 years, I've missed none. Some people say, well, I'm sending this letter to you, Jerry, or Michelle or Sandra. Can you get it to Tex? Well, that's fine if you want to do that, but I'll get it anyway. They have strict orders in there. We get a big stack of envelopes in every day, and we have 2 folks that open up the mail. And they bring in all of the letters into me. And not only that, but I go over the orders many times and see who's ordering what. And I'm interested to see what you're ordering and all that. And I even look at the orders. I don't do that every day, I must admit. But I know those orders are being processed. They go right from being opened. They're taken over to the computer and they're put in the computer. They go right back to shipping and wow, they move on them. Because we care about you. You're not just another person. You're our boss. How about that? You're boss. And we work for you. And we're your ambassador. And we'll do whatever you say. You tell us, we'll do it. Okay. As long as you follow Jesus. As do we. We try our best. Okay. Thank you so much. Now, by the way, I have this book for you. The War on Putin. I want to mention it again real quick. It's $17 plus $5 shipping and handling. You can call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com. Let's return to our regular program now. You know, it seems that over the last, 7 or 8 years, the United States has suddenly decided that Putin is not going to cooperate. They want to build a new world order, and it seems that Red China's given them a little bit of a hassle. But the biggest hassle is by Putin. Now it seems that Putin has been visiting the church there in Russia a lot. Now, you know, our president, Barack Obama, doesn't even go to church. And I suspect that he only went to that church there in Chicago because he wanted to get elected. I remember reading that He went to see a Jewish friend of his and said, what do I need to do to be elected president? And he said, well, first get you a church, get a big church and join it. And because Americans lack somebody who goes to church. So you got to do that. That's when he went down and joined the church. He followed orders from a Jew. Well, they say Eisenhower did that too. His advisors asked him when he ran for president, they said, now what church are you a member of? He said, well, I've never gone to church. I've been in the military. I never went to the chapel. They said, well, you've got to join a church. He said, well, which one do you want me to join? His advisors told him, well, join the Episcopal Church. They're not really like a church anyway. You can say you're Episcopal. People think you're Christian, but it won't mean anything. And he did. He went out and joined the Episcopal Church. They say, though, that he was raised as a, I think it was a Seventh-day Adventist, if I'm not mistaken. I may be mistaken about that, but I believe I was correct. That's the way he was raised, as a Seventh-day Adventist. Well, Putin was raised as a Orthodox Christian. And maybe it took, I don't know whether he's saved or not, but I do know one thing. He gives a lot of honor to the church fathers. He visits the church. He says, I am a Christian. And he won't tolerate anybody harming the church. Now, there was a rock group, rock music group of girls that were really filthy girls. They did I won't even tell you what it was called. One of these demonstrations where a couple of them took off their clothes and did things in the street, and it was horrible. And they did those horrible things in churches too. He put them in prison. He sent them to jail for 6 months. They went into a church and disrupted the church service. He said, I'm not going to have that. We're not going to tolerate that in Russia. And as far as homosexuals, he says, if you're a homosexual, then stay to yourself. We're not going to allow any gay demonstrations. He doesn't allow the gays to demonstrate. He also had a law passed forbidding homosexuals from evangelizing. They can't try to get, you know, to spread their disease with young people. That's not allowed in Russia. Boy, the gays are mad over that. They can't go out the streets and evangelize and say, They can't do that. Putin says, no, we won't allow that. Now, when you support the church, and when you oppose the homosexual movement, and when you tell rock music stars that they can't do their filthy acts anywhere they want to on the streets, in the churches, or wherever, then you become an enemy of who? The devils. Now, we got a lot of devils in America, but the trouble is Obama asked him to come party with him at the White House. You know, Beyonce and Jay-Z Knight and all of these devils. He supports them. And when the Supreme Court said, we're going to have same-sex marriage, it's okay now, Obama, well, he shined the bright light on the White House. He put the rainbow-colored lights on the White House. Not true in Russia. There's no same-sex marriage in Russia. It's against the law. And homosexuals are very angry over that. Think about that. No same-sex marriage in Russia. Putin is the president. He won't allow it. Now, the Jews, they cheat in America. They rob. The IRS knows they do, and they let them get away with it. But not in Russia. The Jewish oligarchs, they did cheat, but they don't anymore. They've been arrested. They've been taken away. They fled the country. They're hiding in Israel. They're hiding over in England. Why? Why are they hiding? Because Russia says, we're not going to allow you Jews to cheat anymore. The Jewish bankers also are honest, more honest than they are over here. Now, the people still have their freedoms. They just can't have same-sex marriage. They just can't go in and tear up and disturb church services. The gays can't go out and get young people and recruit them for homosexual sex. And America hates Putin for being a good Christian. That's the truth about it. Now, he started out in the KGB, the secret police. And I keep hearing on Fox News, people like Bill O'Reilly say, that guy was a KGB spy. He was a little Hitler. Don't trust him. He wants to take away people's freedoms. Yeah, he wants to take away the gays' right to same-sex marriage. He doesn't allow people to have sex in the middle of the street. And that's what this girls group, music group did one time. And he's not a drunkard. He's sober. Now, they said, we've got to get that guy back into our arena. He's acting like a Christian. We can't allow that. We've got to do something about getting this guy back on target. He won't go along with the New World Order. And he won't. And what he's angriest about is the United States has, and Israel and Turkey and their pals, Saudi Arabia and so forth, have gone in and attacked and destroyed most of the countries of the Middle East. It was all plotted out from the beginning. The United States plotted it out, starting with the neocons. They set up an organization called Project for the New American Century, PNAC. One of its chieftains was a man named Kagan, K-A-G-A-N, a Jew. He has a wife. Her name is Victoria Nuland. Why doesn't she call herself Kagan? Ah, she's a new kind of wife. You know the kind I mean. Well, in any case, Miss Nuland works at the State Department. She's in charge of Ukraine, the Ukraine desk. Now, Ukraine is a big country. It sits right next to Russia. In fact, Russia controlled and owned the Ukraine for about 100 years. But when the Soviet Empire fell apart back in the 80s, they gave Ukraine its independence. And Ukraine has had elections, and they've been electing their president. They had a man named Yukanovich as president. He was voted into office. They were fair elections, but Miss Nuland didn't like him. For one thing, Yukanovich wasn't a Jew. Miss Nuland is a Jew. Her husband, Kagan, is in charge, was with this Project for the New American Century. The Project for the New American Century is a Jewish group with a few Gentiles, like Jeb Bush. He's a member of it. What did the Project for the New American Century do? Well, they persuaded their pal, George W. Bush, to invade and conquer Iraq. But they said it's not going to be the first country we end up invading. And so they've encouraged these same Jews of the Project for the New American Century have also persuaded Barack Obama to invade countries. So they have invaded Libya and killed Gaddafi. They've invaded the country of Yemen, and its president was forced to flee. They invaded, of course, Iraq with the United States, and we took Saddam Hussein in chains. We gave him a fair trial. You know how that goes. And then we hung him. Of course, he was guilty before we ever had a trial. Now we say we made a mistake. He didn't have weapons of mass destruction. He didn't have anything to do with 911. Well, maybe we can go to his gravesite and tell him that. Hey, come out of there, boy. You didn't do what you were supposed to have done. You're innocent. But he's dead. And 500,000 other Iraqi citizens are dead. And their cities are war-torn and desperate. They have no water. They have no fire service. They have no electricity in many of those cities because we bombed the dickens out of them. And then we gave half their country over to ISIS because we founded ISIS. We started ISIS. We brought all those Toyota trucks and those other vehicles. We gave them all of the Humvees. We gave them everything they've got, all the artillery. ISIS is the United States Army over there. Oh, well, they're not United States citizens. Well, we do have some people. They're training the ISIS soldiers. Did you know we've set up training bases for ISIS in Jordan? That's right. And we've spent billions on setting up these bases and training the ISIS to fight. And they've gone out and taken over half of Iraq. And they were busy taking about half of Syria until, thank God, Putin came in. Now, Putin had told Assad, Russia will not allow you to be taken over. But Miss Nuland and her husband, Mr. Kagan, and the other neocon Jews and their pal Barack Obama said, we will take over Syria. And you know what? Israel was very happy over this. Because you see, Israel hates Syria. Why do they hate Syria? Well, because Assad was not their puppet. And Assad gave aid to the Hezbollah, or the militia that attempt to help the Palestinians. They operate out of Lebanon and out of Syria. And so Syria has been helping the Hezbollah. And Israel is angry over that because they want nothing to stop them from terrorizing, from murdering the Palestinians. Israel wants Assad out of Syria. And America lied to the people. You and I were lied to by President Obama. President Obama said, we're fighting ISIS. Yes, we're finding them. Don't worry. We're conducting military sorties against them. Our airplanes are bombing them. Oh, yes, they're America's enemies. But we're fighting them. We're in mortal combat against them. They're our enemies, too. They're not our enemies. ISIS was begun by the United States. ISIS is bought and paid for by Israel and by the United States. The military training bases for ISIS are in Turkey. That's our friend. And in Jordan. But Russia came in. And Russia messed up everything. Russia came in about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, brought their aircraft in, their jets. And they began bombing our terrorists. That's right. The American terrorists are ISIS. You ever seen the cartoon of Pogo? We have found the enemy and he is us. Well, that's what's happening in Iraq. That's what's happening in Syria. We are the pals. We are the money people. We are the supporters. We are the suppliers of ISIS. Don't you know the Iraqis talk about how shocked they were? They would see the American aircraft fly over, fly low, and then they would take out all of these C-130s and the other aircraft, open their back end, and they actually let these huge cargoes out, and they drop them to the ground. They were resupplying ISIS. The Iraqi army just looked in amazement. And now they know America is our enemy. America is helping ISIS. America helped ISIS to conquer a good half of our territory. America has helped ISIS to run the oil fields. America, Halliburton, and other corporations are in our country. They're running the oil industry here. And they're giving all the oil to ISIS. And ISIS is selling the oil to Israel and to Turkey. Listen, Iraq is the world's second or third largest oil producer. But all the oil is going to Turkey. All the oil is going over to Israel. It's run, all the oil is being taken out of the ground by industrialists, Halliburton and others from the United States. Think about that. We have our own oil industry in Iraq. That's why Obama will not bomb the pipelines from Iraq that go through Israel into the Mediterranean. That's why he's not bombing all these trucks. We brought over all these big trucks, the oil trucks, the tanker trucks. And they're going night and day going up to Turkey, bringing oil up there. America is doing that. America is duplicitous. America is a crooked thief. They're stealing all this oil from the Iraqis, passing it on to our pals, Turkey, and of course, Israel. Syria, though, is losing all of its oil, too. ISIS is taking it. But Russia has come in there. They said Assad will not fall. We will keep Assad in power. Now, this really disturbed Israel because they want Assad out of there because they don't want anybody to favor Hezbollah any longer. They want Hezbollah out of Syria. They want Assad dead. And we've been helping them. Now, we have created all these myths. I want you to understand this. We have created all these lies, all these myths. We say that Assad used chemical weapons against his own people. You know, that's what we said about Saddam Hussein. And that seems to make people mad. Americans are fair-minded people. We don't like a leader of some regime in the Middle East killing his own people. But that's not Assad. Assad was a good man. He won the election. Was it a crooked election? Not that I can see. He won the election. He's the elected president of Syria. But we put the terrorist in, ISIS and the others, and we're attacking him. But now he has Russia on his side. And that spoiled the works for us. What if Russia starts bombing Iraq? What if Russia starts taking out all the oil tankers? What if Russia starts bombing those pipelines? What if Russia kills all the Halliburton and the other oil company workers? Did you know that we even have, well, there are even Chinese troops. There are Chinese troops in Iraq taking out the oil. A lot of the oil is going through Israel, across pipelines, Iraq, over to Israel, and being picked up on ships and shipped to China. That's why China allows all this to go on. But Russia will not allow it to go on. Now, Donald Trump says, I like Russia doing our work for us. You see, Obama lies to you and me and says, oh, no, ISIS is our enemy. We're killing them as fast as we can. No, he's not. 15 or 20 sorties a day, that's nothing. What they're doing is taking our fighter aircraft and dropping bombs in the unoccupied parts of the desert. That's what the Americans do. I hear from Air Force pilots, my former friends, and they say, hey, Tex, we're bombing the sand dunes here in Iraq. They don't want us to bomb the ISIS army. They don't want us to bomb the oil tankers. They don't want us to bomb the oil fields. They want ISIS to grow rich. They want ISIS to take over Syria. They want the terrorists to win, just like in Libya. Muammar Gaddafi was murdered by our terrorist pals there. And we gave the money to them. We gave the weapons to the terrorists. And now the terrorists are killing people left and right. There's no real government of Libya. The whole Middle East is torn up. There's no wonder that the Syrian people want to come live in America. They really want to go back to their own home country. Why are all these 100,000 refugees coming to America? Because they have to. All their homes have been bombed, have been destroyed by the United States. And the terrorists came into their towns and their villages and killed all these people until the Russians came in. And now Chris Christie says, if I'm elected president, we're going to have a no-fly zone over Syria. Oh, yeah? Well, the Russian aircraft are there defending Syria. You have a no-fly zone, they're going to fly their aircraft. You shoot down a Russian aircraft, you're in World War III, buddy. Jeb Bush says, I'm going to have a no-fly zone over Syria. If you do that, you're going to have to shoot down the Russian aircraft that are flying overhead. Then they're going to start shooting down our aircraft. You got World War III. Rubio, Christie, Jeb Bush, this is what you want us to get involved in? A World War III with Russia? They say, Russia, submit to us. Putin says, I won't do it. I'll stick by my friends. Assad never used chemical weapons on his own people. That's a lie. And Turkey, we know you're stealing all that Iraq oil. Boy, the Turks are mad over that. And Obama, you're the world's biggest terrorist leader. Obama is embarrassed over that. And the American people are just beginning to find this out. We're beginning to find out how evil, how wicked, how dirty our own government is. You know, I'm getting to the point where I wish Vladimir Putin could come run for president. I think I would vote for the guy. Putin for president. I think I'm going to get some bumper stickers made up. I'll send them out to you, my friends. How about that? I'll think about that. Putin for president. He deserves a Nobel Prize. He brought peace to parts of the Middle East. He wants to make Americans get out, the Europeans get out of Ukraine. Putin has been threatened. You will submit. Russia will submit. Putin says, no, we won't. We'll see what happens next, friends. It's going to get interesting. I don't want a World War III. I hope Putin's campaign works. Trump says, I like what Putin's doing. And Putin, in turn, has said, I like Trump. He's a good leader. A tough man, but a good leader. Well, maybe that's what we need. Trump is president. And Putin is president. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.